Recent research challenges the long-standing sports nutrition belief that endurance athletes must rely on high carbohydrate intake. Low-carb, high-fat diets may improve performance, especially under oxygen-limited high-altitude conditions, by increasing fat oxidation and metabolic flexibility. The traditional crossover model held that the body shifts from fat to carbohydrate as exercise intensity rises. In carbohydrate-adapted athletes, fat oxidation typically peaks around 63% of VO2 max and falls to near zero by 85% of VO2 max. Carbohydrates are favored at higher intensities because they produce energy faster and require less oxygen per unit of energy than fat. For decades, this led to the assumption that high-intensity performance depends on glycogen and carbohydrate fueling. New evidence suggests that this model applies mainly to athletes adapted to high-carb diets. When athletes adapt to low-carb, high-fat eating, their metabolic profile changes dramatically. Fat oxidation rates can rise far above traditional limits. LCHF-adapted athletes have shown peak fat oxidation rates of about 1.5 to 1.58 grams per minute at 70-90% of VO2 max, and some have exceeded 1.85 grams per minute. Their crossover point shifts from the traditional 50-65% range to roughly 75-85% of VO2 max. Even at 85% of VO2 max, LCHF athletes can derive about 50% of their energy from fat, compared with only about 10% for high-carb athletes. At maximal intensity, they may still obtain nearly 20% of energy from fat oxidation. One of the most striking findings involves high-altitude performance. In a 4-week ketogenic diet study under simulated hypoxia, athletes improved VO2 max by 7.3% and peak power output by 4.7%, even though arterial oxygen pressure dropped by 14.5%. This is significant because hypoxia alone typically reduces VO2 max by about 27% and peak power by about 22%. The results suggest that LCHF adaptation may help athletes use available oxygen more efficiently, rather than simply relying on carbohydrate metabolism. Altitude matters. PaO2 falls by roughly 1.6 kPa for each kilometer of elevation gain. The research suggests LCHF diets may be most beneficial in the high altitude range of about 1,500-3,500 meters, especially for training camps between 1,500 and 3,000 meters. At very high altitude, around 3,500-5,500 meters, benefits may diminish as hypoxic stress intensifies. Above 5,500 meters, ketogenic adaptation could potentially worsen hypoxemia, making high-carb strategies safer or more appropriate. Adaptation is also rapid and reversible. Metabolic changes begin within 24 hours of LCHF feeding, become substantial within 5-7 days, and often plateau within about 2 weeks. Olympic-class racewalkers increased fat oxidation from 0.5 to 1.4 grams per minute in just 5 days. When athletes return to high-carb eating, enhanced fat oxidation reverses in about 5-6 days. This speed makes LCHF a practical tool for short-term periodization, such as using it during an altitude training camp, and then returning to higher carbohydrate intake before competition. The physiological mechanisms include insulin suppression, increased free fatty acid availability, mitochondrial adaptations, and ketone metabolism. Lower insulin promotes fat breakdown from adipose tissue, increasing circulating free fatty acids. Fasting free fatty acid levels can rise from about 0.54 to 0.8 mmol/L when carbohydrate intake drops. LCHF-adapted athletes also maintain higher fatty acid levels after glucose ingestion, showing a metabolic shift away from carbohydrate dominance. At the cellular level, low insulin and ketone signaling, support mitochondrial biogenesis and fat oxidation capacity. Molecules such as PGC1-alpha and TFAM help increase mitochondrial function. Ketone bodies are especially useful for type I, slow-twitch muscle fibers, which dominate endurance performance. The enzymes that metabolize ketones are most abundant in these fibers and least abundant in fast-twitch fibers, explaining why trained endurance athletes with high oxidative capacity may respond particularly well to LCHF diets. High-intensity performance does not necessarily suffer. Despite lower muscle glycogen stores, LCHF-adapted athletes can maintain interval performance. In one study, 6x800-meter interval times were virtually identical between LCHF and high-carb diets. Mile time trial performance also remained unchanged after 31 days on LCHF. This suggests a glycogen-sparing effect. Fat oxidation increases at submaximal and high submaximal intensities, preserving glycogen for truly maximal efforts. Beyond performance, LCHF diets may improve metabolic health. About 30% of otherwise healthy athletes on high-carb, low-fat diets showed pre-diabetic fasting glucose values. In another study, 47% of elite endurance athletes had 24-hour mean glucose above 100 mg/dL during continuous monitoring. Switching to LCHF improved glucose regulation even without weight loss. 31-day mean glucose fell by 15%, time spent in the normal glucose range rose by 35.4%, glucose variability decreased by 34.9%, and coefficient of variance fell by 25.4%. Athletes with prediabetic values showed the largest improvements. Measurement challenges remain. Indirect calorimetry can overestimate carbohydrate oxidation and underestimate fat oxidation above 70% of VO2 max, because intense exercise produces non-metabolic CO2. This may have biased older studies toward carbohydrate dependence. Individual response also varies widely based on genetics, training status, muscle fiber composition, adaptation time, and tolerance for dietary restriction. The key takeaway is that low-carb, high-fat diets are not simply a slower-burning alternative to carbohydrates. For properly adapted athletes, they can fundamentally change substrate use, allowing fat to fuel a much wider range of exercise intensities. The strongest practical application is altitude training, where oxygen scarcity amplifies the value of metabolic flexibility. LCHF diets may also improve glucose health and support performance in older endurance athletes. However, they are not universally optimal. Athletes should consider elevation, competition demands, individual metabolic response, and the need for periodization rather than adopting a one-size-fits-all approach.